guys, welcome to an episode of the Lemonade Podcast. I'm back. The hiatus was for about 4 weeks, a month, which is about what I needed. And for whatever ridiculous reason, I was like really nervous about recording because I thought that I had, lost a step, which is kind of funny because I've been recording other stuff in the meantime, in between time when I was on a break, like Missy Knight's Uninformed Afro and also some stuff, or one thing, for Patreon. So, hey, I hope you all are well. I missed you all. I won't assume that you missed me too, but if you did, thank you. It's good to be missed, but I'm back. So, just a quick personal thing. If you weren't aware, I joined CrossFit like 5 months ago, maybe going on 6 months now, and I participated in my first CrossFit competition about 2-3 weeks ago, and guess who didn't die? Me. I actually came in fourth, which was pretty cool, and did way better than I probably should have gave myself credit for to begin with, and thought, you know, really, really believed in myself, but it was just a really, really great experience. So if you're wondering what the competition was, it was the Goddess Games, which took place here in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is a really great event. Just all women competing, and not just competing against each other, but, you know, just, I don't know, the vibe was like really, really good there. And if you've ever been to a CrossFit event, it's hot, there's nowhere to sit, and it's loud, and it's a little funky, but I don't know, that atmosphere was just, it was just really, really cool. And it's probably going to be an event that I for sure will probably do every year and hopefully do better next year. But yeah, so I went out on a limb and got a chance to see how much of the hard work that I've been putting in, you know, how it translated. And to be honest, I'm really, really, really happy and proud of myself, because maybe less than, actually at the beginning of this year, like I really couldn't even walk to my car without being winded. That's how out of shape I was. And to just see the, you know, the change from the past 5 months when I first started. And I mean, I was one of those people, if you told me about CrossFit, I was just like, I don't want to hear it. Because, you know, kind of like all of these, CrossFit, vegan, paleo, all of those kind of, things that people do and join and get really, really, really into it. And then all of a sudden, just like they're yelling at you to try it and do it because it works for them. And of course, if it works for them, it'll work for you. And no, that's just not how life is. And no, I am not one of those people. I mean, I'll share my progress and, you know, things that I'm happy about that's happening in CrossFit. And you can either ignore it or, you know, ask me something about it and then I'll tell you that is the case. But I'm definitely not going around yelling like, I do CrossFit, you should too. Because no, this is just, everything is not for everyone. But I just wanted to share that with you all, that happened during my hiatus. Also, I got to meet Jamie finally. Jamie from Black Girl Nerds, Jamie Broadnax, my co-host and partner in crime on Missy Knight's Uninformed Afro. A lot of you all were really, really surprised that we had never met before, but no, we hadn't. But I guess that's a testament to our chemistry, but that was really cool. We had an interview with NPR, which hopefully will be out soon so we can link it and share it with you all. But that was just really, really fun and a fun trip to Virginia, but bad timing because that was when I took a little social media break, or just break period from everything. And I didn't know about everything that was going on in Charlottesville, which is also in Virginia. I was headed towards Virginia, towards Virginia Beach. So yeah, my mom called me like, where y'all headed again in Virginia? And I told her, and she's like, oh, well, is that anywhere near Charlottesville? I'm like, I'm pretty sure that it's not, but I was just really, I don't know, it just kind of threw me for the rest of the night because I'm looking around for really, really angry, racist white people, which to be quite honest, could just be anywhere. You can be in Target and that could be the case, but angry, racist white people with tiki torches. So that was a thing. I'm not going to get into it because this has been talked about. Unfortunately, shit's still going on, but that was intertwined with my first time meeting Jamie. So that was really cool. Okay, so let's get into this. So comics, what have I been reading? Well, of course, I've been reading a lot of stuff for Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro, but when I've had a chance to sneak in some other stuff, which I surprisingly have, one of them most recently is the Money Penny comic, which just released this past Wednesday, which, if I know my dates correctly, would have been August 30th. Yes, because Friday was the first. So August 30th, Money Penny came out. And if you're not familiar with Money Penny, if you're not familiar with Money Penny, from James Bond, she was a white woman for a really long time. And the newer James Bond, she's now a black woman, talking about the movies. And hey, I've never read the James Bond comics. I just haven't. So full disclosure on that. But back to this Money Penny. That was something I was looking forward to because I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. I would like to see, you know, who Money Penny is outside of, you know, James Bond and MI16 and all of that. MI16. What am I talking about? So it's by Dynamite, it's the name of the publishing company, and it's called James Bond Money Penny. It's written by Jodi Hauser, which you might be familiar with that name because she also writes Faith. And the artist is Jacob Edgar, who I believe is a newer artist. So it's supposed to be a never-before-told mission starring, what should be some black girl magic, which is Money Penny. And for those that are, again, unfamiliar with Money Penny, I'll say it again. She's a friend of James Bond, former MI16 field agent, and she is a bodyguard to him. The story centers around a complicated assassination plot that reminds Money Penny of a terrorist attack that happened in her childhood. Ooh, all right. So right off bat, I want my $4.99 back. I do, because again, I am unfamiliar with the James Bond comics. I don't know if they all follow the same formula or what, but all I know is this thing was drier than the Sahara Desert. It was dry. It was dry as fuck. I'm still dehydrated from reading this. It was a slog fest. I don't even know where to begin. There was a lot of back and forth in this comic, and I've seen that writing style before, and I tend to kind of like it because it's, you know, it helps you piece together, you know, why the character is thinking about XYZ in the present because it happened or what happened or whatever breadcrumbs they give you in the past. It did not work. It was just, I kept waiting for the comic to start. And by the time I got to the end of the comic, I was like, oh, wait, that's the end. It's just boring as hell. And I actually like James Bond. As far as the fandom is concerned and everything, like I've seen all the Pierce Brosnan movies. I've seen all of the Sean Connery movies, and I've seen the other ones and, you know, dispersed here and there. Can't think of the actor's name right now. Please do not crucify me. But yikes, because this was just really bad. And the Money Penny that, you know, I got an impression of from the last couple of James Bond movies, that girl, my condolences, sweetie. You deserve better because this was just, it was really, really tired and boring. And I don't know, quiet as kept, you know, I know that a lot of people like Faith. Personally, I like Faith for what it is, but I am not a huge fan of it because I also find that kind of slow and boring as well. So I think this is just her writing, but spy espionage, and you know, that in itself can be a little slow at times, but this, I don't know what else to say. Like, I just, yikes. And there's a point in the comic, spoiler alert, when because this assassination is supposed to go back to one that happened in her childhood. So the very beginning of the comic, her and her parents are watching the news. There's a bombing that happens, blah, blah, blah. So fast forward several pages into the comics, there's three pages that happen. The guy that she is the bodyguard for is giving a lecture with another guy, and they're talking about misinformation and how it could be more damaging than the actual information itself. So flashback to Moneypenny, when she is a little girl, she has a friend who looks like she is of Southeastern descent, and a little white girl was being a little white girl and was just like, well, watch out, you know, her parents might be listening. I mean, she might tell her parents how to plan the next bombing or some shit like that. And then Moneypenny doesn't say anything. The girl is upset. Later, her and a little girl and Moneypenny are in the bathroom together. Also, Moneypenny is a small child too. And, you know, she's like, I don't know why she would say something like that. That was really mean and blah, blah, blah. And the little girl's like, well, you know, people say things when they're scared and so on and so forth. And then Moneypenny says something else. And she's just like, well, I'm not the person you were supposed to, you should have said that to. You should have said that to her. I get it. You know, I do. It's very ham-fisted. And it just felt like, instead of telling the story through actual storytelling, it's just like, here, lesson learned and insert. So, I mean, if that's any indication, and it pretty much like the entire issue went that way. So I am sorry that this wasn't better, and I can't say that it was better because it wasn't, and I legit want my $4.99 back. Also, why the hell was this comic $4.99 again? I don't read James Bond comics. I'm probably not going to read them now, definitely, because if they're all $4.99, no. In this economy, in front of my salad, I don't think so. So, that was Moneypenny. Yikes. Ooh, moving right along into Black Panther and the crew that finished up that issue. That comic, actually, I think it was this week or last week, the last issue came out, which was issue 6. And I mean, it wasn't for me, honestly. And also, it didn't help that a lot of things were crammed in and then left underdeveloped, because it, you know, the comic series was canceled before it even got out the gate. So Ta-Nehisi Coates only had 6 issues to, you know, kind of try to flesh out a story. So all that Misty Knight shit that happened early on, I don't know. I guess it got swept under the rug. I don't know. Maybe she woke up. Who knows? I don't know. T'Challa was singing to Storm. I guess it was cute. Probably would have had a little bit, would have meant a little bit more to me if... I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's just like I'm over T'Challa and Storm being together, and I'm just kind of like, ooh, girl, you can really just be awesome by yourself and get dick appointments, because you could totally fly around and, you know, just get to him or whatever and just have like 4s in your pocket, whatever. But, you know, it was cute or whatever, but, you know, I wasn't crazy about it. And then Luke Cage is just there, me and Luke. And yeah, and then spoiler alert, Hydra. Yeah, Hydra's in Harlem. So do whatever the fuck you will with that. But yeah, so Black Panther and the crew. I just really felt like this series probably could have, maybe would have fared better. No, not even a maybe. It possibly could have really actually fared better if it would have gotten more than 6 issues. It was just a lot to cram in, and a lot was left, you know, uncooked. And I really can't blame the writers for that. But at the same time, when that trade paperback is out, you know, wait till it hits the clearance bin. Because, again, in this economy, it's just, you know, money can go elsewhere. So that's that. I can't believe I'm getting ready to say this, and I'm starting to say this about a lot of DC comics, which, I mean, I've never had a problem with DC comics. I picked them up and I read them. I just didn't pick them up as frequently as I picked up Marvel. And I think really no rhyme or reason behind that, to be very honest. It really isn't. It's just kind of the way things went. But anyways, back to DC. Like, I'm starting to say this about a lot of DC titles and the Rebirth. They're good. They're like really making me care about characters that I really kind of didn't care for or care about. Let me not say that I never cared about or cared for Batman, because that's a full blown lie. I slander him, but you know, that's love. It's love hate. But Tom King's Batman, his run, you know, is really making me care about The Dark Knight a lot. I really like the writing. Actually, I'm really happy that I just finished reading it about a week and a half ago, and I think it really helped that I was able to read it from issue 1 all the way up into 29. That helped out a lot, because the first story arc, I've heard from a lot of people, like, they kind of put the book down after that and just really didn't feel inspired to read and continue with the rest. But being able to read it all the way through past that really made a difference. And I'm kind of noticing that for a lot of comics. You know, not necessarily just a monetary thing that's just cheaper to pick up trades, but I don't know, depending on the writer and the writing style and just how familiar you are with the character or how not, how, you know, whatever, picking up the trade or just waiting until there's maybe 2 trades out for volume 1 and volume 2 for the book can sometimes really help and make you appreciate everything. So that definitely happened for me for Batman. So Batman, Tom King, Rebirth, I'm recommending that. So there's that. Peak 2017. yes, I think that's, honestly, that's really kind of it for comics as far as what I've been reading. Like I said, everything has pretty much been wrapped up in Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro, which has been, I really can't wait for you guys to listen to this upcoming season. Like, it's been really, really good. I just started reading The Life and Times of Martha Washington, and yeah, fucking Frank Miller. So I'll save all of that for that podcast, but Frank Miller, guys. Keeping the DC theme going as far as TV, movie stuff and all that jazz. The Vixen, CWC animated series, whatever you want to call it, that premiered on the actual CW last week on Tuesday. And if you are playing that bit, what I just said over again, because you think your ears have deceived you, it did not. That did happen. I didn't know about it until a day or two before, because guess what didn't happen? CW didn't promote it, like, at all. And on top of that, it wasn't new episodes or anything like that. It was literally the same thing we've seen for the past 2 years. So it was just basically all the episodes that have already been, that you've already seen. So, of course, an article came out saying that no one watched it. And, of course, nobody fucking watched it, because there was no advertisement for it, no promotion like that for it. So, I mean, it's annoying, because then it's just kind of like something added to evidence and ammunition to say, well, you all have these characters, but you don't support them. And it's just like, well, no, because you kind of don't do any promotion for it. So how is anybody supposed to, like, be reminded and know that this is on? Like, let's not act like there isn't a lot of stuff on TV, and there's just a lot going on. So people need those reminders. So do better. Also, it's the same episode. So, I mean, girl, I guess. Damn, this is really DC heavy. This is surprising. So, bitch, we're getting a black Starfire. And whatever, if she might be orange, it doesn't matter to me. I've always kind of coded Starfire as a woman of color. Sometimes, depending on the day, as a black woman. So, that's just me. And especially with the Injustice 2 game that just came out, that Starfire looked just like Zendaya. So, hey, they must knew. But, yeah. And the actress's name is Anna Dwap. Beautiful black woman. So she's going to be Starfire for the Teen Titans show that is on the streaming network that, to be quite honest, I still don't know if I'm going to fork over the coins for, because what are y'all doing? All these streaming services for, again, in this economy. So, you know, hopefully it's not that much, or they at least have a free trial or something. And I'll get my aliases together and I can, you know, try to figure that out. But as you can imagine, Cannabis Bros were up in arms and pissed off because a black woman had been cast as Starfire. But it's just kind of like, you know, if she's an alien and they're going to have her in body paint anyway, what does it matter whether or not she was black, white, Asian, or whatever? Because if that's what they're going to do, then it wouldn't make a damn difference. So I really don't even know how to go about even trying to understand that logic at all. But I mean, they were really upset, like for real upset, like deep down in their hearts upset, like super, super upset. But hey, let them be. And some little boy was cast as Nightwing slash Robin, because I'm not really sure. I am blanking on his name, but apparently he's been in the Pirates of the Caribbean series. I wouldn't know because I have not watched them. I think I watched maybe the first and the second. And by watch, I mean in passing, because they were on TNT or something, other, something like that. They're not my ministry, but he was cast. And of course, someone has been cast as Raven. And, you know, casting is all over the place. Like, everybody looks like they're at different stages in their life. And I tweeted this out already, but is it Teen Titans Generations? So, I mean, that's what they're doing, cool. But all I know is that Starfire better not end up being some kind of, you know, house nanny or whatever. Because she does look a little older than the other two people that have been cast in the roles of Raven and also Nightwing. So don't do that shit. Please don't. I'm going to be real irritated. And I'm definitely not going to pay for that streaming service. So that's that. And then James Cameron called Wonder Woman a step backwards. And I quote, "She's an objectified icon and it's just male Hollywood doing the same old thing." And it's just like, sir, aren't you trying to give us 5011 avatars? Are you not a part of male Hollywood? What are you talking about right now? And like, look, and of course he went on to, you know, throw out like, hey, I gave y'all Sarah Connor. And also, you know, he also brought up, Anyway, it doesn't matter because James Cameron, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about right now? And it made me feel kind of some kind of way because I'm not even like crazy about Wonder Woman. I am happy that it did well. I'm happy that it was probably the better of the DC films, and Wonder Woman has, you know, I don't even want to say brought them back, but you know, got, I guess, righted the DC ship. I don't know, but I just like, man, we're really about to make me have to like cape up. So just James Cameron, just shut up. That's, shut up and focus on blue people and blue dicks. So speak, man, white people been wilding because, all right. So by now you probably heard about the video of John Boyega getting his dance on at a carnival parade. Like it became an actual news story because some white folks felt scandalized, like really clutched their pearls when they seen their dear Finn whining and you know, getting his dance on. So it just really was a reminder to me that, you know, how white people, or yeah, how white folks just kind of view a lot of these black women and black men, stars to these blockbuster franchises, like totally forgetting that they are still Black people with culture. Believe it or not, who knew, right? So, of course, some troll with an avi of, I don't know, it's probably like anime or something like that, and said, can you imagine strong female characters like Princess Leia, Padme, and Rey doing such a thing? So, pretty much dismissing the agency of the Black woman who was whining all on John, as though she couldn't be some badass feminist icon and also getting her whine on too. So it was just a nice little bit of misogynoir just baked right into that tweet. So, I mean, it's already been talked about to death, but it's just really just goes to show you that whole thing about, I don't see color. It's bullshit. Like, you need to be seeing color and, like, you need to, like, understand that people have their own cultures, and just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that it's bad, doesn't mean that you should feel scandalized or any of that shit. Like, you know, it's okay to learn about something before gentrifying it. Just FYI. So, the Punisher Twitter account was alive and well this week, sending out Morse code, doing too damn much. So, that's that. And Karen Page is going to be on the show, because there was a teaser trailer, mini trailer, honestly. I don't know what to call it, but yeah. So, that was out. And speaking of Marvel Netflix show stuff, we got a reveal of Misty Knight's bionic arm. In fact, from Luke Cage 2, there's a photo of Misty Knight and Luke Cage walking, and Misty's got her bionic arm. Unfortunately, I really hate that it's funded by Rand Corp. To be honest, I would have preferred Hammer Tech, ITT Tech. Honestly, Bruh Man from the Fifth Floor could have gave her that damn arm, and I would like that more than Rancourt. So, you know, somebody get Tony to Marvel Netflix, get him in there so that she can get her signature gold or silver arm. But honestly, I'm just here for the fact that we actually get to see this visual and, like, it happens. So, you know, of course you gotta get these jokes off, but I am happy to see that, and I'm looking forward to Luke Cage too because of that. So, it is what it is. And speaking of the Defenders, just meh. I actually did a review with Sterling from the Indu podcast, and you actually can catch that review on Patreon. I don't know what I'm talking about, but you can catch it on there. We talk about the Defenders, and unlike Iron Fist, like, we actually do talk about the Defenders and not other stuff, but it was still a struggle because that show was, like I said, just, I don't know, like, just, it really took me a while to get through it. Like, it took me a full week to really watch that show. Actually, 2 weeks, to be honest. So, that's there if you want to listen to it. Again, it's Patreon/ The Lemonade. And Survivor's Remorse. I think I stand for this show. I really think I do. I don't know why. I really didn't watch it before. I think it was a case of I didn't have Stars or, you know, money. So I didn't watch it, but I have Stars now. And I finally sat down to watch the first episode. And I was like, this is pretty funny. It's pretty good. And I didn't stop. I actually watched Survivor's Remorse over The Defenders. So that's what I was binging instead. And it's just really, really good. I know that Mike Epps isn't on that show anymore, but he was really, really good in those first two seasons. I am in love with Ron Rico. He plays Reggie, who is Toyana Ferris's, Paris's husband. Oh, Toyana Parrish. What am I talking about? Who plays Missy. That's her husband on the show. And they're just, I love their relationship. And I love the fact that Cam's mom is dating an Asian man on this show, Shin. So you just gotta watch it. M. Chuck is crazy. That's his sister. It's a show that I recommend. I, like, really, 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 really deep down in my soul, Love that show. So enough about Survivor's Remorse, but that was just what I was binging and watching instead of The Defender. So that tells you anything. Okay, guys, well, this episode is coming to a close. There was really nothing else really to kind of talk about. And I'm pretty sure after I stop recording, something will happen or I'll remember something that I did want to talk about, but just didn't make it to the show notes because amnesia. But I do want to extend that my thoughts and prayers are with everyone that has been affected by Hurricane Harvey. The cleanup has now began. I'd like to implore you, if you haven't already, or if you can, to try to donate and help in any way that you can to everyone affected in the area. Fuck Red Cross. Don't bother with them. But actually, I ended up donating to the GoFundMe that JJ Watt set up because I trust JJ Watt more than I trust the Red Cross, if that says anything. So, yeah. But just my thoughts are with everyone, and especially you. If you're listening to this and you are in that area, you know, my thoughts are with you. And yeah, get through this. And President Trump. So guys, I hate to leave it on such a horrible note like that, but thank you so much for tuning in and listening, and please come back. I'm going to have some special guests coming soon and, you know, more stuff to talk about. So thank you for being so patient while I was trying to get my life together during that little hiatus, and I can't wait to bring you more content. So in the meantime, I'll catch you later. Bye.